Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back for our season 39, episode 12, predictions and power rankings. And today we are joined by Billy Garcia. And if you don't recognize the man, look at the sign behind his head, Survivor Cook Islands. It's the best banner. I don't know where you got that thing. I think you told us previously where you got that, but that is just such a cool banner. And I love it as the background for this.
Oh, thank you. I do so many podcasts, and my home tends to be like the staging area for my family. Like whenever anybody wants to meet up to go anywhere, they come here. So I put up the banner just to cover all the activity going on in the background.
I love the idea of like 30 people hanging out behind that banner right now while Billy's doing this podcast with us. This is going to be so awesome. I know a lot of our fans were excited about this. We haven't really gone. I think you're the first person we've talked to from Cook Islands. In fact, you're definitely the first person we've talked to from Cook Islands. And we've had like John Carroll on in the past, and you know, we've kind of been able to explore some of the earlier seasons, but never had anybody from season 13, Billy. So you got to set the tone here and really make a statement with these power rankings.
Oh, for sure, for sure. You know, I bring that lucky 13 with me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know what? If I get it right, then, it'll be the first time I ever get any kind of power rankings right. So I'm just giving you a heads up.
Most people get them wrong. Most people are not good at them, ourselves included.
Yeah. It is so hard to predict because all you got to do is just look at somebody funny and you go from the most secure person in the game to be the next one on the block.
Yep. And last week was actually a pretty easy one for people where a lot of people put Elizabeth at number 9. However, the way Elizabeth went home, I don't think anybody was anticipating. I thought we all just thought that she'd be an easy vote. Instead, we have Karishma play the idol correctly. Janet and Elizabeth tied with one vote and then a revote and Elizabeth goes home. So not the way any of us really thought, but most people had Elizabeth at either spot 8 or spot 9 last week. Alexa, don't do that because I haven't put anybody's in yet.
Yeah, that was just for that one person.
Oh, okay, cool. But anyway, we haven't updated the power rankings yet because when I got home on Saturday, like in the afternoon, I was too lazy to update it. However, Billy, I do know where you stand. And so for the team Survivor, there's 77 points. I myself have 87 points and Alexa has 71 points. So you got to keep that second place going and maybe try to come after me this week.
All right, then I feel a challenge coming on then.
I love that. What are you thinking so far about season 39?
Oh, wow. This is the season that unfortunately is going to go down as the big cluster F that happened there earlier in the season, a couple episodes ago. And you know, the storm that's going to come from it when they're sitting in the live finale. So, yeah, unfortunately, that's going to be what it's going to be remembered for, which is a shame because Krishna, being the Houdini of Survivor, probably the greatest escape artist in Survivor history, that should be the story.
She's been amazing, and I think a lot of people have overlooked that. But again, last week, somehow pulls that off, plays the idol correctly. Her name has come up. What does she have? I think she has 17 votes, which is the second most all-time right now.
Yeah. Behind Laura Moret, who has 19, and Karishma's going to pass that.
Yeah, and remember, Laura Moret got voted out twice in that season. Yeah. Karishma still has not been voted out.
Yeah, everyone's saying that Dean has 9 lives, but Karishma's got like 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, I personally, Dean's overrated. He's trying to make himself sound like he's doing this spectacular job of just hanging in there. Meanwhile, that's totally when he sees his back and he sees that it's really Krishna that's doing all this. Yeah, Dean's gonna have some egg on his face because he's a floater. Of all the people that he's calling the GOAT Army, he's like the captain. I'm sorry.
And that's what Julie Rosenberg said last week when we had her on the podcast. She came in and she said she thinks that Dean is including himself in the GOAT Army. And I said, I don't think so. I think Dean thinks he's playing a really good game. And sure enough, this week, Dean was not including himself in the GOAT Army. He said Karishma and Nora were coming after him, Tommy, and Elizabeth, which I thought was a weird trio. Because I don't feel like that many people are seeing Dean or Tommy as huge threats, despite the fact that, you know, Tommy could definitely win it. I don't think people were even really looking at Elizabeth as a big threat, aside from being able to win challenges. So I have some feelings on Dean this week, but we'll get to that when we actually get to the power rankings, because I don't want to give away too much.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But
Bill, you're definitely onto something. I think people were always saying that this season's going to be remembered for Rob and Sandra, but Boston Rob and Sandra are like the fourth most exciting things to be happening this season.
Well, you know what though? What Boston Rob and Sandra were a great insurance policy. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that when they were casting this, like they looked at this cast and thought to themselves, this has the potential to be a very boring season just because of the mix that's there of the personalities. And so Rob and Sandra were like the insurance policy, and it hasn't been boring. At sometimes that's been a great thing, and other times it's been a face palming thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last week's I thought it was great. I thought
last
the thing
was such a good episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Previous episodes, such as Vince having to go steal fire from people. That's more of a facepalm. I don't really understand what's going on with that one.
Sandra teaching Vince how to hide behind a palm tree is still my favorite thing that's come out of this season.
Yeah. So good. I wonder what they're going to do with Island of the Idols now that we're down to Final 8. We're going to have a loved one visit coming up. I wonder if they'll be able to tie in Island of the Idols into the loved one visit, because we saw them actually tie in the reward last week, or not the reward, but the eat or play challenge, and Lauren was able to go back and tell everybody about that. I wonder if there'll be somebody who goes before this love challenge. My guess is no, because pretty much every time there's now been a loved one challenge, it's the first thing that happens. People will just, you know, the episode starts, there's the quick, oh man, I feel so left out after that vote. Janet will probably have a confessional saying she's happy she escaped. Christian will have a confessional saying she's happy she played the idol. And then it'll be like, well, we need love. And it'll just go immediately to the challenge. It won't even have a come on in, guys. That's my guess. But it would be cool to see if there was a way they could play Island of the Idols into this.
I would love to see a loved one get sent to Island of the Idols.
That'd be amazing.
Instead of the player.
I would love that. And like they get to go meet Boston Rob and Sandra and hang out with them, and they can get an advantage maybe for their loved one. That would be fantastic.
That would be. It would be even, you know, not only would they get to be part of Survivor and we get to see like a loved one play, I also think it'd be awesome because, like, if anybody's going to leak what's going on Island of the Idols, it would be a loved one.
Mm-hmm. I just want it to be a loved one who doesn't watch Survivor.
Oh.
And be like, who the hell are these two?
Right. You get like Janet's husband who, like, always got dragged to just watching Survivor on Wednesday nights with Janet, but you know, just like never, she just like, he just never cared, fall asleep halfway through every week, and now he's out there and he's supposed to know who these two people are. That would be fantastic. I love that. Well, Billy, that's a great idea, and it's a shame that we weren't able to pitch this beforehand, because I think that would have been an awesome, awesome thing to see somebody go out there. I mean, I'm curious to see who the loved ones are going to be for some of these people. You know, oh, I mean, Karishma's husband coming out there.
Oh, after she just trashed him? That would be awesome.
No, he got the redemption arc. He's back. We love him.
True.
He got the redemption arc. His edit is... 10 out of
10. All right. We'll give him a pass, but I would have loved to see him before that. Oh, I just married him. We're basically roommates. that was great. I thought that's what they were setting up. That he would come out and the loved ones, and she'd be like, oh, okay.
I was hoping for someone else.
Yeah, I was hoping for my mother or somebody. You know? Or better yet, her father. Why did you sell me to some guy?
Oh, man. We'll have to see.
Well, let's dive into this. So last week, Alexa, you and not so much you, but Julie got mad at me because I said this is my projected order of finish. And I put Elizabeth in ninth place, and Elizabeth sure did get ninth. And I'm making a little change this week just because my predicted order of finish had Karishma in fourth place, and I do not feel that Karishma is the fourth safest person this week, especially after she showed that she's such a gamer last week. So I do have some changes. Billy, though, I want to hear who your number one is before we even get into this. Who is the safest person this week?
Well, for me, I hate to say this, damn.
I know, because it's like scary.
Yeah, it's scary. The safest person is Dan, because like nobody's looking at him in spite of what happened. He's basically getting the free pass edit, which makes me believe that Survivor is intentionally trying to make us forget like they would a hidden immunity idol, so that when he's sitting at the end and Kelly stands up, it's a big shocker and a big emotional moment. So I just feel, just judging solely by the way he's being edited, and that's it. That's all I'm going by, that Dan is the safest person right now, and I hate it.
Mm-hmm. I originally had Dan at number one also. I am a tiny bit lower, but I think you're right. I mean, they're editing him the way that they are. I mean, they're 2 weeks ago he was present, and this week he may as well have not been there. But I had him a teensy bit lower than one just because at one point Karishma says – he's running the show, and that could strictly be her perception because we know she's not allied with that big group. I have Lauren at number one because I think Lauren is running the show, and nobody knows that. She and Tommy are my number one and two, and Those two are so tight, and they're really the only duo that we know about in this, and they're running that group, and no one's looking at them. They convinced a group of four people to eat instead of compete. Mm-hmm. And these are competitors. These are people who are in the final nine and only three people actually played for their immunity. That's really impressive. And so I think those two are running the show. And even though we're aware of it, no one on the island is aware of it.
Yeah, I go Tommy one, Lauren two. So the opposite order of you, Alexa, but the same thinking. This week we saw just how tight Tommy and Lauren really are together, where Lauren comes back. She has all that idol information. She gives it all to Tommy. I mean, just immediately tells him, like, this is what we need to do. How can we convince everybody? The two of them completely work together to make this happen, which I think is very telling about their relationship. And I think that nobody realizes how tight the two of them are, which is strange, because nobody's like, oh, like, why are Tommy and Lauren always going off to the well together? And why are they doing this? And when they're telling Janet, you should eat. It's like, Janet's like, you're right. I probably should eat. Let's eat. So I think that the two of them are running it. I think that what we got this week from Lauren was pretty much what's going to be her final tribal council speech, because I think she's going to be in the final tribal. But I think that it's going to be hard for her to win over somebody else, because I think she's going to say, look, I knew all of you so well that at this point I had to predict who was going to win this challenge. And that probably won't make TV, but I think that it's going to be something she does say. And we know she has good relationships with these people now and knows the people she's living with, because wow, did she prove it last week? But I still think that it's going to be hard to get votes strictly based on that, when nobody on that island dislikes Tommy. Nobody on that island dislikes Janet. And I think Janet and Tommy have a little bit stronger of a case for her, so she's got to get them out. But to your Dan point, Billy, I mean, I agree. Last week, Dan was actually shown being like going over and approaching Karishma about how dare you bring up my name. And we're almost sitting there saying, like, you're right. How dare she bring up Dan's name? Like, he just was talking to her. And now she's going over right in front of him. Like, I think Karishma is great. The audacity for her to just be like, hey, Dan, what's going on? Who are we voting for? And then walk across the beach to the hammock right in front of Dan and start talking. I thought it was just hilarious. Thought it was great. But, yeah, I do agree. I think Dan's pretty safe this week.
Yeah, and not only that, but Karishna, with what she said, that Dan's running the show, and then she still didn't put a vote on him. She put a vote on Janet. Makes me feel all the more that he's safe. Like, that Karishma is basically... I think she's playing a little bit wiser than what she's being shown as, that she understands that Dan is a good goat to sit next to. Like, who would vote after, you know, who would vote for him after the big blow up from a couple of episodes ago? So even though she doesn't like him, I think she's playing level headed, and that's what she said in her confessional, that she can't play with her emotions. Mm. So yeah. I think she voted Janet because she's likable, not so much because she was told to. And I think she didn't vote Dan because he's so unlikable and that he's just a good person to sit next to. So I'm going to shock you. I'm going to shock you with my predictions. We said that Dan was my number one. Karish was my number two.
Mm-hmm. Really? All right.
And this is like, these are two people that are going to pull each other kicking and screaming to the end. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not, this isn't going to be like functional where they both agree to work together. It's literally two people that think they could beat the other. And yeah. And your choices, I think I might be skipping too far ahead, but my choice for three and four, I think they're just going to, one of them's going to knock the other one out in a fire challenge.
Yeah, and I could see that happening. I mean, we were talking about this on our recap of last week, you know, it goes back to the Survivor 33. That was when we really started to first get these interviews. And everybody would come on these and say whoever sat next to Hannah and Ken was going to win. And I don't think it's that simple with Karishma and Dan, because I think Karishma is showing some game here. Yep. And I think that she could definitely, you know, pull off some votes and possibly even the win if she sits next to the right people, or if she continues to play the way she did. Anytime you get a successful idol play post-merge, that's a huge move for yourself. Yeah. Because everybody on the jury saw it, and everybody you're playing with saw it.
And you saw how the jury reacted. They loved it.
Yeah.
And they did not expect it. Yeah. Their jaws were on the floor. So I could definitely see Karishma and Dan trying to get to the end together. But what we saw this week was Karishma and Dan kind of butting heads nonstop. Yeah. And so if they keep butting heads, maybe, you know, we're down to eight. And, you know, you would think that people would start playing with their heads and start getting rid of the people like Elaine and like Janet. But, you know, there's egos on Survivor. And maybe that turns into, I got to boot Karishma, I got to boot Dan just because I don't get along with them. It happens all the time.
It does. But the indications are that both of them are thinking about threats, and at least Dan does not consider Karishma a threat at all, in spite of, you know, her being the best escape artist, in my opinion, in Survivor history. And Dan, this was her chance to put Dan's name down, and she didn't do it. And her reasoning was that she's not going to make decisions based on emotions. So just on that, those words alone, it tells me that she's thinking of Dan as somebody that she could sit next to and beat. So yeah, that's why they make my number one and two. I don't think it's going to be functional at all, though. I think they're going to butt heads all the way there.
Yeah,
those are two strong personalities that are going to go at it.
Yeah,
but it'll be fun.
fun fact: Karishma leads the season in confessionals. For anybody keeping track at home,
woo! Way to go, girl.
Yeah, she leads the season with 29, and she's been consistent. She only had two episodes where she didn't have any. But very strange how evenly edited this all is right now. Out of the people left in the game, Karishma has 29 confessionals, and Dan has the least with 15. Really, not far off from each other. So that's pretty well edited of this season. So it makes it so that it feels like almost anybody can win, and especially when you have goats, air quotes, playing idols at the final nine successfully to nullify seven votes. Yeah, it feels like anybody could pull this out.
If our goats are Karishma playing an idol, negating every vote, and Nora winning two immunities, like, I'm down with these goats. These are pretty darn good.
I'm with you there.
I totally agree. I like them. So I'm going to go to 3 and 4 just because you've been talking about them. I have Dan at number 3 and Krishma at number 4.
All right. I
kind of agree with you on the Dan thing. It hurts to put him there, but I think he and Janet, I dare say it, they're kind of the next duo. I think they're kind of using each other. And even though I don't think Dan has like a strong number one, the way that Lauren has Tommy and Tommy has Lauren, I don't think anyone's going to get rid of him because they're going to want to go with him to the end. And again, this is from the minimal that we're seeing of him. And this is like, I can't believe I'm saying this 3 weeks after the fact. It doesn't seem like he's doing anything particularly controversial. And I'm not saying that about his actions directly. I just mean he's not stirring up trouble. He's not throwing anyone's names under the bus. The only thing we've seen is he called out Krishma because Lauren said that she saw his name come out of her mouth. So I think he's just kind of coasting. And I think this majority, whatever this majority group is, this like new Vokai crew, they're finally at that number. And I think like between him and between Elaine, who made it very clear she wants to stick with her group, I don't really see them shaking too much this next round.
Yeah, I actually go Dan at 3. So I moved Dan up from my number 6 last week. I still think he's going to finish like 6th place. I don't necessarily think he's going to make it to the final 3. He should, but I think that there's so many people who it feels like should be sitting in the final 3 that we have a really rare instance here where you can make the argument that like Dan, Karishma, Nora, even Dean all could be taken to the end, again, air quotes, but you could make that argument and that's 4 people already. So who's taking them to the end?
The cast.
Yeah. So it's half the cast. But I think in terms of this week, I just don't see Dan going home. It'll be interesting to see him with his loved one, especially with everything that's gone on this season. I'm assuming it's going to be his wife that comes out there. I'm curious to see how they're going to show the interaction with his wife, show how the rest of the cast reacts to him seeing his wife, because we know that this is always a very emotional time. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how this all goes with Dan this week, but it's hard to see him going home. There'd have to be a crazy idol play and a stray vote, but who even has an idol right now? Nobody.
No one.
We're starting an episode where nobody has an immunity idol.
No one has anything.
No, yeah, no advantages right now. So we got Classic Survivor happening right now.
Yeah.
You know, my top 4 is basically the invert of Alexis' top 4, where we have Lauren and Tommy, the duo. That's my 3 and 4, with Lauren being my 3. And I just believe that I agree with you. That's that Lauren is probably going to be our season winner. If she makes it to the top 3, she can pretty much sit next to anybody and just start going over the details, like, because she's very good at speaking about what she observes. It's not just that she observes it. She's good at speaking about it and explaining it. So I think she would sit down in the final 3 and explain everything she's observed, and the jury would be impressed.
Yeah.
I think it's also clear that people like her. I mean, she got the situational awareness challenge. And she said, she's like, this is what I'm good at. Like, the social game is what I'm good at. And I think she really showed that.
Yeah. I agree. And Billy, what did you think about her idol play last week? Because I know that that's a bit controversial. But what was your take on her playing the idol after Karishma came out and played hers?
I could understand. She didn't, you know, people say, oh, she threw away an idol, or she, you know, she blew it. But no, I mean, how many people we had Kelly go home with 2 idols in her pocket, and there's so many bad idol plays going on in recent Survivor that I don't blame her for playing it safe, especially with what seemed to be a very live vote, meaning that it was very uncertain who was going home. So I don't blame her. I would have played it safe as well, even though it sucks to basically waste an idol.
I just saw someone posted in the chat, which no one really talked about, because I agree with you, Billy. I mean, she has to play it. First of all, the next time she could play it is only this week. So it was a 50-50 shot playing it last week or this week.
Exactly.
And this doesn't seem to be as much of an issue as it was early on, but it does eliminate the threat of her having gone to Island of the Idols, because those people have kind of become like public enemy number 1. So her playing that idol just says, okay, I'm back on everyone's playing field.
Mm-hmm. And I think that for Lauren, with how well she's played this game and how she's aligned herself pretty well with almost everybody, this might have been the last tribal where she was in danger. Or it was either this one or this final eight one that's coming up. That would be the last tribals that she feels in danger until final five anyway. And if you only play the idol at final five, play it now to ensure that you're still sitting there at final five, because there's always going to be bigger threats than somebody like Lauren when it comes to this game, because there's always the fear of somebody who's won a lot of immunity challenges or somebody who's played more idols correctly or anything like that. So I think this is the right move for Lauren. You ensure that you're still there at final eight, and with how she set up with Tommy, with Janet, with Dan, even with her relationships with Nora and Elaine, Dean, sort of, by her being in all those relationships, she's ensured that she's going to the final five. I mean, she will be in our finale, almost no doubt. This makes sure she doesn't get a stray bullet for no reason.
Well, let me ask you both this question. Dan has been played a lot this season. He Elizabeth succeeded in making him believe that what the terrible thing that she did, that it was Kelly that did it, and that Janet taking the moral high ground, that it was Elizabeth that did it. So Dan is, we've proven just with that one episode that Dan's been thoroughly played. And now that Elizabeth is not there, and neither is Missy, Dan being so, I don't want to say gullible, I want to say playable, he's easy to play, and Lauren being such a player, don't you think that's like Lauren's inside track to winning it all? She's proven she could play this game at a very high level, and she's got somebody who can be played in Dan.
Yeah. I mean, I think we saw that, and this isn't anybody playing anybody, but we saw she and Dan are sitting on the hammock. Elizabeth and Karishma are sitting on the hammock 2 feet next door. Dan, I don't think Dan was, I have to rewatch it. I don't think Dan was aware that Karishma was talking about him. It was Lauren who said it. If Lauren didn't say anything, none of that would have happened. So I think Lauren does a very good job of being able to control the narrative.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just having Karishma at four, I think to Phil's point, her playing that idol was so great. And that's just naturally going to put the 19th target on her back. Or so that's why I have her right in the middle. Or on the flip side, like I feel like we're at a point in Survivor where you take your shot at somebody. If you miss, you just move on to the next person. So they could just like wake up and decide that someone else is more threatening and then just use Karishma, because Karishma still doesn't have allies. This didn't give her any allies. So I think it's just up to the rest of the group to decide, do they want to get rid of her, or can she's a free agent? Like why don't you team up with her for a vote? So I don't know where it's going to go, which is why I have her right down the middle.
Yeah. Well, I moved Janet to my number four, and yes, Janet's been in danger week after week lately. Yep. She almost got the stray bullet last week, which would have really sucked. She had gotten a lot of votes the week before. We saw her have to play an idol the week before that, even when she didn't get votes. So Janet's stock has definitely fallen. But I really think that just like, to me, she's got finale written all over her. I think that her relationship with Tommy and Lauren is really good. And since I think the two of them are running the show, I think that they can ensure that Janet's still there. I think that you want to get rid of Janet before you get to final four because she can win fire. You want to get rid of Janet before final five because she could always have an idol, play the idol, and then make fire, and then Janet's in the final three no matter what. And I think she wins if she gets to final three. But I think that you have to keep her this week because that four that I've been talking about for like the last 3 weeks now is Tommy, Lauren, Dan, and Janet. And I think that four has to ensure that they get rid of one more person before they start to eat their own. And I think they will, because I think they're all safe, smart players. They're not all out there trying to make the craziest, biggest move. I think that they're trying to play the smartest game. I think they're all really students of the game. And so I think that Janet is going to be okay this week. And it's got to be one of the Karishma, Nora, who's a challenge beast, Elaine, who's a huge Jerry threat, or Dean, who's just somebody that like, Dean's not your goat who gets to the end and is a guaranteed goat. He still has relationships over on that Jerry. We know that. He could still go on some sort of immunity run, even though everybody says he has no endurance and can't do anything. I'm still not buying that he can't. So I think that four, that group of four, I put them in the top four because I think that's the key alliance that has to take out one of the other four this week.
I have Janet as my number five. Okay. So I'm not too far off from you for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. And the reason why she falls out of my top four is because somebody she's relying on, i.e. Dan, put her name in Karishma's mind. So that means Dan is thinking ahead, and he wants to use Janet as a human shield. And any bullets that is going to come his way, he wants Janet to absorb. So that's what moved Janet one spot off of my top four. She's number five. But yeah, I agree with a lot of what you're saying about Janet is in with the right people, and there are other people that need to go first for the people who are calling the shots to make it to the end, being Lauren and Tommy. And I'll even throw Dan in there, even though I think Dan overrates himself. I don't think he's really calling the shots. I think he's being played again, where he's being allowed to think that he calls shots.
He did make one of the key moves last week, though, where he, even though he put Janet's name in people's minds, he knew Karishma was going to end up voting for Janet, and he made the key move of voting for Elizabeth to ensure that if Karishma played an idol, it wasn't one of his alliance who went home, it would be Elizabeth on a revote. So he was the only one who ended up voting differently from the rest of the group, but knowing that Karishma had to vote for somebody, he knew that he had to tie up the vote somehow, so he voted for Elizabeth, and I think that was Dan's decision. So even though he's still all over the place, I think that was a really smart move on his part, and it saves the person whose name he did throw out there to other people, which I think, again, is just kind of keeping it off of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. But, you know, I'm not trying to say that Dan is a nincompoop. Just that out of the people that are in control, I would have him at the bottom of the control of him and Lauren. And I think Tommy and Lauren have more say-so than he does.
Absolutely.
But he does, he's in with the group, so he does have some say-so, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, though. I agree. I think the dynamic of that group is – Tommy and Lauren would both love to sit with Dan at Final Three. And Janet is probably closer with Tommy than a lot of people realize. Like, Janet's ideal Final Three is probably Janet, Tommy, and Dan. And then Tommy's and Lauren's ideal Final Three are probably the same one, where Janet is left off. But if Janet were to win at the end, she's putting Lauren in a position to make fire probably against Tommy, if that was the Final Four. So I think Janet has a different Final Four in mind. I don't think Janet's fits into anybody's Final Four, but I think Lauren and Tommy both want I think Janet still wants Tommy there over Lauren in her Final Three, just based on what we've seen all season. They seem like they've been very, very close early on. My number five is Karishma, so I'll just throw her name out there since we've all talked about Karishma a lot. I moved her down one spot because I had her in fourth last week. She made the idol play. I mean, this is the best play of the season so far. There's really no denying it. She made the best play of the season. It was seven votes against her. She was very smart to hide the idol with her, like, on her person instead of putting it in the bag. Or maybe she hid it on the beach and we just didn't see that. But, you know, they went into her bag. Yeah, she said it was in her armpit. So, you know, they went into her bag.
I'm confused, but I like it.
Yes, exactly. She's just walking around like this the entire time. But, you know, they went through it. They didn't find anything. So she did a good job of hiding it. They didn't even bother to split the votes. You know, she participated in the challenge, which a lot of people gave her crap for. But, you know, like she said, I came out here and I said I would never sit out for any reason at all. She's never going to win that challenge, but I got to like where her head's at. At least she's putting in the effort. I think that Karishma last week surprised so many people that she was not on anybody's radar as a possible threat to win, just as more of a nuisance around camp. Who do we really want to sit here with her for another however many days? Now she's waking up on day 31 as the player with the best move in the game thus far. And that's not a bad place to be, no matter how bad your first 30 days were before that.
Yeah. I agree. And Karishma is basically making Dean's prophecy a self-fulfilling prophecy, where he was saying how you keep the goats around and then the next thing you know, they're there at the end. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see happen. I think he predicted the end of this game, Dean did.
Yeah.
Where Karishma's going to just find herself at the end. And with the right speech, who knows? I always point to Sandra, who just happens to be on this season. She wasn't exactly a barn burner when she played, and she's won twice.
Yeah.
So, why not?
Billy, you took the words right out of my mouth.
The sweetest timeline would be Karishma and Nora being the reason that Dean goes home. I mean, that's how this is going to end.
That could very well happen because Nora could just keep winning immunities and Karishma could put it the thought in everybody's head, let's get rid of Dean.
Yeah. And speaking of Nora winning immunities, I have Nora at number 5, which is, I think, the lowest I've put her in a while. Oh. The people who are sitting on the jury are the immunity threats. And I think that's a kind of subconscious, except for like Elizabeth a little bit. But Nora's going to continue to do very, very well in these immunity challenges. And whether or not you perceive Nora as a goat, as we were just saying, half of this cast is perceiving the other half as goats. Mm-hmm. There's only 3 chairs at the end, and there's just not enough space for everybody. So I think if Nora were to not win immunity, there's an argument to say, how do we know she, like, it's the same thing with Aaron. How do we know she's not going to keep winning immunities and take my spot at the final 3? I don't necessarily think that's going to happen because she's in with this majority, but I'm always nervous for immunity threats because people always go for them.
Yeah, she's a different one though because she's not the big muscle. She's not the Ozzy, right. You know. She's not the Brad Culpepper. She's not the Terry. She's not the Tom mm-hmm. Westman. She's so much different because we don't. It's the same thing as like when there's a women's alliance. So going back to like the whole women's alliance thing that happened earlier this season, where it was like just saying women's alliance is like offensive and all that. Why does nobody talk about a men's alliance? It's the opposite now when a woman keeps winning immunity because they're not looking at it the same way that if Aaron wins 2 immunities in a row and it's we need to get rid of him immediately. Nora just won 2 immunities in a row, and I don't think people are going to get rid of her this week if she loses.
Exactly.
So I think that there's something different about the way that men are perceived physically and then the women are perceived when they get together. You know what I mean? And Nora doesn't really have many allies. She's just really good at challenges. That's not threatening as a woman on Survivor, as weird as that is.
Well, Chrissy Hofbeck won 5 immunity challenges. Kim Spradlin won 5. I think Kim won 5.
I think she was 4, wasn't she?
Jenna Maraska won like mm-hmm. 4. Like, women winning individual immunities, it's amazing that they're never seen as immunity threats. So mm-hmm. good for them.
Yeah, and I think
yeah, her. Yeah, I think our top 4 is like almost is pretty much identical, and or maybe even our top 5. I think the bottom 3 is where we differ. Where I hate to say, I know you guys are both like Nora a lot and say that people aren't looking at her, but I'm in the bottom 3, we basically got her, Elaine, and Dean. And it's just a matter of what's the order there. And I just feel like Elaine has so much charisma that she's the one that gets overlooked. And Nora, they may not look at her as a challenge threat, though they should, but they do look at her as a wild card. Like, oh, God, what's she going to do now? What's she going to say now? Who's she going to say it to? She wants to do her thing now. She's not part of the group, so I think they look at her as a threat in that sense.
Yeah.
So that's why I put Elaine above her, just because Elaine has the charm to get herself out of situations. She has the charisma, better said. She has the charisma to get herself out of situations. And my bottom 2 are the self-fulfilling prophecy and this season's Debbie Warner.
Wow.
So
what a throwback.
Seriously, right? She wasn't exactly there either, but Debbie's on Survivor don't have a good track record of being all there. So
that's true. Nora's got to change her name by the time this season's over. So you're putting Elaine at number 6, Billy.
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. We'll see how that one goes. I have Elaine lower than that. So I have, okay, Nora, I have Nora at 6. Since Alexa already talked about her, Alexa's actually got Janet in her bottom 3 somewhere. We don't know where yet, but I have Nora.
Okay.
I have Nora here at number 6. I give her the edge over both Elaine and Dean in terms of immunities. There's really not that many good immunity people on this season. Mm-hmm. There really are not. I mean, if you look at this, Tommy has not been an immunity threat all season. Dan is never going to win immunity. Janet hasn't been seen as a threat. Lauren hasn't been a threat. Karishma's never going to win immunity. Dean has been not that good. Elaine won 1, but I think it was more of a fluke. And then you have Nora, who's got probably the She's probably got the best shot to win every single physical challenge out of everybody here. Now, when it puzzle, whatever, but if it's just endurance or just, you know, playing the, you know,
like concentrate.
Yeah, concentrate. That's all Nora. So I put her at six because I think she just has an advantage over others to win some challenges here. I mean, it's crazy to me that Dean, who has every muscle that everybody's supposed to have and who's a D1 athlete, can't win a damn challenge and is never even really close. So,
yep.
And yeah. I don't buy this. This person here, Tion Ager, sorry to get rid of your face, Bailey, says Dean's acting weak and those challenges fail. I don't believe it.
People said that about War Dog. People said that about War Dog, and we saw how that turned out.
War play pool with you at a bar because he's so bad at pool, I swear.
He's bad at challenges and pool?
Yeah, he can't do anything. No hand-eye coordination.
Well, I'll say this. War Dog was all what was all bark and no bite. Ah, see what I did there?
There you go.
There you go. But Nora, I think, you know, she's a one-trick pony, and that this one trick is what's happening in this section of the game where it's a lot of just stand there and don't move.
Yeah.
Which is what you do in yoga, and she's a yogi. So she's, you know, that's her one trick. But once this section of the game is over and you got to start putting together puzzles while after starving and being weather beaten and all that, and you have to start to move around and run to here to there, and that's coming, I do think that Elaine will handle the puzzles and Dean will handle the running around. And so is that this episode coming up? It's hard, you know, we can't really predict it. But that's pretty much where I'm going, where my head's at, where I'm saying, okay, we're not going to have like a bazillion just stand there challenges. It's got to come to an end. And I think this is the episode, unfortunately, where it comes to an end. Though I don't think that I might be giving away too much. I don't think that it's Nora that's going, though.
Okay. So
we're getting there.
That means we have the same person in last place. But Alexa, who's your number six?
My number six is Sergeant Dean, the leader of the Goat Army.
Oh.
I don't know. I think I liked the idea of his advantage, copy and paste job, because if it was if he had a real advantage, this would be a good move. And he doesn't know that it's not real. And that's a whole nother topic of discussion. But I think him doing that now makes him he's not immune. What's the opposite? He's like, he can be targeted because in their mind, he doesn't have anything. Mm-hmm. So I think there's that. I think someone called me out in the chat that I said he has no allies. He and Tommy are actually pretty tight. So him running to Tommy wasn't out of nowhere. There's a secret scene of the two of them saying that they're really close. So he does have Tommy, but I think I just don't know what to do with him. I don't know what to do with him every week. I don't think he's going to win a challenge. I don't think he has the clout to like whip votes to get what he wants. So again, he's a number that they could use, but I don't know. He seems to like he really wanted Karishma out, and that didn't end up happening. So I think he and Karishma will probably butt heads again this week. But
they've been butting heads since day one.
She's been doing well, so it could go for him. It could backfire on him.
Yeah, but I know where Billy and I both have Dean, so you know.
Yeah,
leader of the Goat Army.
Yeah. The self-fulfilling prophecy right there.
So why don't we finish first, Alex, and we'll save you for last since you still have Janet hanging around. You have Janet and Elaine as your bottom two here. So why don't Billy and I finish this out? I'll finish out first so that people still have a reason to keep listening, because if Billy goes first, then they're all going to just fast forward. So I'll go first. I go Elaine at seven. I go Dean at eight. I went back and forth on this a lot. I really did. Because I could see, like, it seems to me if I'm playing Survivor – and I know how Elaine is as a person, I want to get rid of Elaine as soon as possible. Because Elaine can talk herself out of anything. She makes everybody laugh. If you can get to a final tribal council and make everybody laugh, you could very easily win the game just by making everybody laugh. That's a super dangerous thing. So I'm scared about Elaine, but I don't know if they're all necessarily scared about Elaine. I put Dean in last place, not just because he's the only person remaining on Alexa's fantasy team. That's not the only reason I did this, even though he is the only person remaining on Alexa's fantasy team. Out of eight people, I have five left. But I just think that he is just – he's not realizing how others are viewing him. And if he doesn't realize how others are viewing him, that's bad news this late in the game when you're sitting here at – at Final Eight, and you're not on the right side of the numbers, and one of the three people that he was worried about going home, himself, Tommy, or Elizabeth, went home last week. So now it's him and Tommy. I just think that, like, eventually Dean's going to get the boot, and this week could just be that week where it's just too easy. And Dean's somebody who can get votes at the end. I think if you're worried about Nora getting votes, I don't think anybody's really worried about Nora getting votes at the end or Dan getting votes at the end. So get rid of Dean or Elaine this week. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. It really is. But maybe I'm wrong, but I got Dean in spot 8.
All right. So I have Nora in spot 7 just because she's such a wild card that she's always going to be near my bottom rank because she's always one dumb thing away from getting herself voted out. Yeah. So how could you not, at least for me, how could I not keep her towards the bottom?
Yeah.
But having said that, I think Dean played himself. I think that's what it's going to come down to. Dean played the fake legacy advantage, thinking, okay, now that people don't think I have it, I'm safe. No, now people are feel like they're safe to vote you out. And then you think you have the real one, and when you try to play it, it's going to backfire. So I think he played himself. I think that's why he's going home.
It reminds me of Jeremy Collins' wife in Val. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I forgot her name for a second. But Val in San Juan del Sur, where she said she had two idols. So they all said, okay, fine, we'll just vote for you then so that we get you to flush an idol. And she didn't have any idols. But by saying she had two, it made everybody think, like, well, why would we not vote for her right now? We got to get one of these out of here, otherwise she's way too powerful. I agree with you, Billy. I think Dean did something very similar this week, and he's gonna go walking up there with his real one and be very disappointed when it's fake.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah, it's gonna, this is pretty much setting up Dean for an epic crash and burn. Mm-hmm. Which we've had just about everything, including stuff we've never seen before this season. I think we were due for an epic crash and burn.
Yeah.
And I think that's unfortunately going to be Dean, if he doesn't go this week, then it's because a lot of people saw Nora as this might be our only chance to get her, mm-hmm. or B, she said something that just made somebody go, all right, that's enough of that. Yeah. She's got to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I, for my reasoning, I think like they just wisen up and say, we got to get rid of Elaine because she's just way too social and we'll win this game if she gets to the end. So, Alexa, mm-hmm. how do you end it?
Well, yeah, not to completely agree with you guys, but Elaine's my number 8. The reason I have Janet number 7 is not personal because Janet is always going to be number 1 in my heart. But I think I'll talk about Janet because we've talked about Elaine a decent amount. But with Janet, I just think, like, I believe that Janet is going to be in the finale. The more I thought about it, we've had not great finales before. Mm-hmm. The Ghost Island finale was great, but not because of who was in it. I mean, Kellen, we were all talking about Kellen was going to be in the finale and then she gets voted out right before. Christian Kubicki could have been in the finale, gets voted out. So I don't think, like, I'm trying not to view it from an edit perspective. They have talked about how much of a threat Janet is and then just kind of moved on. But I think with her name getting written down by Karishma, who's still in the game, and even though she was kind of told to, Karishma's trying to blow this thing up, and I think she can throw Janet's name out, or she and Janet are probably going to talk and maybe start working together, and then that could bother the rest of that alliance that Janet's maybe pulling away with somebody. Mm-hmm. So I think only because her name is floating around, I don't think she's like... I mean, I guess I have to stand by. She's the second most likely to go home. But I really think that this is Elaine's week. I think they have talked about time and time again how great she is, how charismatic she is. Someone is going to wake up. There's only 8 people left and see that she's perfect. And I think the loved one's visit is only going to accentuate how much people like her. Because whoever comes, it's going to be adorable and amazing and everyone's going to cry. And I think that's when people are going to realize we've got to get her out.
Yeah.
Here's a thought. What if this loved one thing works against Nora in that someone with her eccentricities, I guess, for lack of a better term, is going to have eccentric friends as well, eccentric people in her social circle? So what if that person comes along and instead of it's Nora that says something that makes people go, oh, that's it, she had to go. Just that person being that person saying whatever it is that they, you know, something kooky. You know, I think that's a big possibility. I think if I had like an eccentric family and eccentric friends which to some extent I do. That would be the last person. Like, I wouldn't want to see them. I'm this deep in the game. I wouldn't want to see them. I'd be like, you know, I would see one of them come walk, and I'd be like,
yeah. And I talk about that all the time. Like, who would you bring out there? There's a reason that you wouldn't bring certain people out there, because they would say too much, and you don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Like, my mother, she would blab everything. She would tell you about things I did at 3 years old. Like, she, she would blab everything. So, my son used to hide stuff all the time. I'm sure he has a hidden beauty idol in his sock, because that's one of his favorite hiding places. So, he would, like, mom,
as they all notice the little bump in your sock, you know, that you wear where the idol fit in the entire game. That could happen.
Yeah,
really could. We've seen that happen before. I think that happened with was with Brandon. I think the first time, like, his uncle or something came out, or his father or whatever it was, and like, he got so many confessionals in that, Brandon Hance, that is. But we've seen things like that happen, where, you know, a loved one comes out and kind of blows up your game a little bit. So I would say that with somebody like Janet, you're not going to have that problem. Somebody like Nora, you could have that happen. Somebody like Elaine, I think you could have that happen, despite the fact that it could be all great. That could happen.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I agree. Those are the top two candidates for that misadventure during that loved one's visit.
Yeah.
Note to future survivors, bring your most boring possible loved one.
Yeah.
You have a chance.
Absolutely.
Either that, or bring someone that'll actually do something for you while you're there. Like, I forget what player it was, but her mother took the shirt off her back and gave it to the player. I'm trying to remember for the life of me who it was, but this was a few seasons ago.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, see, that's something that I was like, all right, see, she just earned her spot.
Yeah.
That was the person to pick to bring as a loved one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make me a granola bar.
Exactly. Where's that? Yeah. Well, Billy, we finished the power rankings. Before we let you go, who's your winner for this season?
My winner. My heart wants to still go with our Houdini here, just as it would be such an awesome story. But my brain is saying Lauren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're good picks.
Yeah. I mean, if the Houdini pulls this out, it is. It's the, what is it, the devil convincing you that they didn't exist? I mean, Karishma just convincing everybody that she was not a threat the entire time. And she just pulled the greatest trick, because she just kept on surviving and kept on going. And there she is, right at the end, sitting there. And I'm telling you, I've been saying this for a couple of weeks. Karishma gets the end. She's going to get votes. Like, there will be votes given to Karishma at the end of this game if she's sitting there.
Yeah.
So you better get rid of her before that. If you think that this could be a split jury where four votes is all you need to win, Karishma could accidentally get four votes on this season. So, yeah. I don't know. I think Lauren's a little bit more likely. I think Tommy or Lauren is more likely. And then I think Janet and Karishma are probably the next tier. That's my guess. But, you know, anything could happen. Anything could happen right now.
Just to clarify, I'm going with Karishma. That somebody was like, who's Billy's winner's pick? That's Cloud Noctis. He was like, who's winner? You're like, did you pick somebody? Yeah, it's Karishma.
There we go. We have it.
There you go. Well, Billy, do you have anything else you wanna leave us with here? I mean, we're pretty much, you know, we've covered everything.
Yeah. You know what? Since I'm going to see Alexa at the party coming up that we're going to go to, we're going to go to a party together. I'm gonna give you one of my coins, and you can show it off at the podcast
after. Oh my God, a
Billy coin.
Yeah. For those of you who are confused, we had Johnny Fairplay on probably about a month ago, and he was bragging about getting a Billy Garcia coin in Philly, and Phil and I had no idea what he was saying.
Well, now you'll be able to show it off, and you'll get yours when we go have our pizza, all three of us together, when you come to New York City.
Hell yeah.
I love that. So I'll get my coin at some point, and then Alexa and I will have two coins, and Johnny Fairplay will have one, so love we it. Win. We win, Alexa.
You and I
are victorious. All right, well, on that note, Alexa, why don't you take us out?
All right, so... for those of you who either do or do not celebrate, happy belated Thanksgiving. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. It is currently snowing in New York City, so it's officially Christmas time. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our Instagram account has more than my personal account, which says everything you need to know about me. Make sure to become a patron. Go to patreon.com/survivorspecialist. We have $1, $5, $10, and $20 tiers. And we'll be live this Wednesday at 9:30-ish p.m. Eastern for our episode 12 recap. We are on the home stretch here.
We absolutely are. We are almost, no, we are almost there. And become a patron.
Yeah, become a patron. And thank you for coming on, Bill. We love having you.
Oh, my pleasure. I had so much fun. This is actually one of the times I was the most serious during a podcast. I'm usually not that serious. I don't know. I guess I got so into the power rankings. I like wanted to actually give a real opinion.
You
want to
win.
Yeah, I want to win.
That's what's so good about these. We can keep everybody on track because we have like, it's like, all right, who's your number 7? You can't get too far off. And then we had Johnny Fairplay the one time who did like a 3-hour podcast where I think we talked about Survivor for 10 minutes. But, you know, I mean, it makes it a little bit easier to keep everybody on our course here. But no, this is a great time. And I think everybody will love that. You were so serious because we got some good knowledge here today, Billy, from you. So this was good.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it was good knowledge. We'll see how it plays out. But since I was so on course and so serious, I didn't get to tell any of my behind the scenes stories. So now you will have to bring me back yet again to get those behind the scenes stories of Survivor Cook Islands and. I'll leave you with a short one that's quick, and that's that we almost had a player die within the first 10 minutes of the game. We had to jump ship and go on a bamboo raft, and JP kept insisting that he's this professional canoer. I still don't know if any of that was true or not. So it doesn't sound true to me either. He's an underwear model. How do you put the two together? But anyways, I was telling him, I served in the Marine Corps, and in the Marines we were taught you never cross in front of a ship because it's in the water. There are no brakes. Mm-hmm. So he insisted that we should cross over through the front, and we got run over by the ship, and Cecilia was wedged between the raft and the ship, and Jeff Probst is standing over the front bow yelling, Cecilia's being sawed in half! And I'm like, we're all gonna die!
I love that in a moment of crisis, Jeff still narrates.
He's still narrating. Yep. And I'm trying to get help, because there's boats zooming by, like that scene in Return of the Jedi, Jabba's barge, where it's just zoom, and these are all camera boats zooming by, and I'm trying to wave them down to help, but no, I guess the game is that real, huh? You gotta save yourself.
That's it. So, you're on your own.
So Christina and I got her out of there, but we had to be the ones that damn near killed the player. All because of JP. Wow. Your fault, JP.
Well, that's just a little taste of what's to come the next time Billy Garcia's on our podcast, right? And that may be in December, but hey, no spoilers here.
No spoilers here, Billy.
Yeah, exactly. We know something nobody else does. All right. Well, on that note, Billy, thank you for that. And everybody now knows, don't swim in front of a boat. We all know you're going swimming. It is December officially. We all know you're about to go swimming. Don't go in front of the boat. Other than that, Billy. Yeah, Billy, thank you so much for coming on. This was fantastic. Loved having you. And we will be in touch soon.
All right. Take care. Can't wait till the next time.